Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Something outside my tent. I was about 11, my sister was 13. We slept in the living room of a little caravan we used to stay in near Stranharar. There wasn't a lot to do. The campsite didn't have any amenities. I'd pass the time playing with my sister, talking, walks, or playing the SNES. This was 98, so Castlevania and Donkey Kong Country weren't nostalgic yet. They were just lame. I couldn't wait to get home and back to the PC so I could get my theme hospital on. But mostly I'd read. I had a collection of books about ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, and such. I'd pick them up at library sales or in a charity shop. My favorites were the unexplained true stories like the Dover Demon or the Gulf Breeze incident. There was a quarry on the other side of the site. Sometimes at night I'd pretend the two red lights were the eyes of the Mothman, who'd swoop down to terrorize my family. What I'm getting at here is I was a kid, and I had an active imagination, but I never believed anything spooky would actually happen to me. If something out of the ordinary happens, it's just your mind playing tricks on you, right? I woke up one morning around 6:20. It was gray outside, the sun had just come up, but fog and cloudy skies ensured it wasn't too bright. I felt uneasy because I'd usually sleep till 9 at least. It was silent. My sister wasn't even snoring as she normally did. And then I heard it. Thump-thum. Thump-thum. It sounded like a horse galloping. It was just outside the window. It was unsettling, to say the least. Had a horse escaped from a nearby field? Surely not. I'd never seen any horses around here, and what's more, it didn't sound heavy enough to be one. Thudum. 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 Whatever it was making circles around the caravan. I'd hear it fade a little as it looped around the other end, where my parents slept, and then get louder, almost next to my head. It had the irregular rhythm of a gallop, but I never heard four legs. It was almost like a person was skipping very, very quickly, but no person could be heavy enough to make that kind of noise on soft ground. Thudump, thudump, thudump. It was fading off into the distance. Whatever it was seemed to have run off. I breathed a little easier. What a crazy situation. Maybe I hadn't fully woken up yet and was having a dream hangover. And then it came back. Thudump, 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 thudump. It was getting louder and more insistent. I decided to take my chances. Rosie? Are you awake? I ventured. Yeah, she said, voice quivering. You can hear that, right? Yeah. What is it? I don't know, I answered truthfully. I'm afraid to look outside, though. Why? I'm afraid it might be the devil. She moaned in fear. Thudum, thudum, thudum. There was a thump from the other end of the caravan, like whatever was outside had grazed it. I pulled my blanket tighter around me. After about a minute, it faded again. I told myself if it came back, I'd look outside, and the devil be damned. It didn't come back. My parents woke up around 8, made us breakfast, and the fog cleared. We'd asked them if they'd heard anything strange earlier. They hadn't. There was no scrapes in the caravan that would suggest something heavy bumping against it. Apart from my sister, there was no evidence that anything had ever happened, except for one rough footprint outside the front door in the shape of a hoof. To this day, I regret not looking outside to see what it was. But when I wake up in the middle of the night and everything seems so strange, I understand why I didn't. Outside the cabin. When I was a kid, I would scare easy. I hated ghost stories and frequently would accidentally scare myself by making weird faces at the mirror. It was so bad that whenever I would be standing with my mom in the checkout lane at the grocery store looking at the tabloid magazines, even the slightest mention about cryptids or aliens would send me into a mini panic attack. My family has owned a small cabin on a lake in northern Minnesota since before my siblings and I were born. This cabin is pretty much as rustic as it gets. Constructed out of old logs with an old fireplace, an outhouse, and a tilted foundation. With the cabin being about 95 years old, we're pretty lucky to have running water and a working toilet now. Every summer, my parents would load us all up in the car and trek for a good 5 hours to get up there for a week or so, and then return back to the cities almost every other week if my dad was on call for his job. Before the trip, we'd round up little games and coloring books to keep us occupied. Depending on whether our mom would be joining us for the trip up, my dad would allow us to pick up something that would otherwise not have been approved upon by our very religious mother, such as Mad Magazine, ridiculous tabloids, and best of all, Big League Chew. Yes, we weren't allowed to get Big League Chew because it resembled chewing tobacco. On such an occasion as this, my younger brother picked up a National Enquirer that had, as it happened, the Bat Boy blown up to maximum size on the front cover. I had to reassure my 11-year-old mind that I was much too old to be freaked out by a fake newspaper. The trip went, as usual, boring and long, until we finally arrived at our cabin shortly after sunset. We parked, brought our things into the cabin, and lit a fire in the old dusty hearth, which was customary of the first night up there. We played a few card games and after a while went to bed. The cabin was situated in the woods betwixt two super mansion cabins that were relatively close by. But when the sun set and you looked out into the pitch blackness of the night, you couldn't feel more alone and isolated. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and had to use the bathroom. I was a kid who dreaded windows and mirrors at night. If I was in a room with a mirror or a window, I would panic and tell myself not to think about Bloody Mary or a serial killer watching me from outside. My trip to the bathroom was also made up all the more creepy by the fact that I'd been poring over the Bat Boy issue that we had picked up earlier. As I got out of the bed, I squinted my eyes and thought about the Little Mermaid or something to distract me as I padded into the bathroom and locked the door. The bathroom was relatively as run down as the rest of the cabin, with a small window that faced the backside of the cabin. In front of the window was the trunk of a large tree. We usually kept Christmas lights around that window to act as a form of nightlight. I finished up in there, and as I tried to keep my eyes forward, my tired gaze locked onto that window. In the cheery Christmas light framed window, the blackness was broken by what I could only describe as a pair of thin, pale, and very long fingers pressed against the glass, tapping at the surface. I didn't take my eyes away from whatever was at the window. I was terrified, but also confused and unable to register what I was seeing. It was a good 10 seconds before the hands moved from their splayed position against the window. When they moved, I panicked and wrenched the bathroom door open, my heart pounding in my chest. I quickly jumped into my bed and curled into a ball under my sleeping blanket, shaking, having literally no idea what I had seen at the window. I had fallen asleep, and about 2 hours later, I awoke to the gray dawn creeping in the windows, unable to think about anything other than what I had seen. To this day, I honestly have no idea what was at the window. When I returned to our cabin, which has remained completely unchanged since then, I look at the window and wonder. Blacker than black. Ever since I can remember, I've always seen things, heard things. I'm not saying that I'm a medium by any means, especially if it means that you see things all the time. I've never had anything too terribly bad happen, but there have been happenings. There is a color that is darker than black. Black is the absence of color, of light, but there is a color that is more horrifying than I can describe. It's almost like a void, a black hole that sucks in all light around it and makes it god-awful black. I've never seen such like it before I saw the thing in the hallway. Before I tell anything further, I guess I should tell you the layout of my home, where I still live. My room is in the middle of a hallway, and across the hallway is a wall. At the end of the hallway, there's my dad's room, and on the same side of the hallway as my room is the bathroom. I don't have a window in my room, and it's pretty small, and I have no door, just a curtain for some privacy, and I have to keep it open to get any AC. No complaints, really. But the reason I tell you this is so that you know my room, when the lights are out, is completely dark. There is no light whatsoever. It's creepy, and it's the reason why I always slept with the TV or the lamp by my bed on, just for some source of light. Some nights, however, I just kept the hallway light on, instead of my lamp or TV. Now, back to the story. The first time I noticed it was when I was 13, and walking to the bathroom late one night. I've always had an irrational fear of what was out in the dark. Something, I just knew it was going to pop out and kill me. The hallway light was off, but there was a faint glow coming from my room. I looked down at the end of the hallway towards my dad's room and saw it. It looked small, not even 2 feet tall, and it had a slight frame, but it was constantly moving, shifting. It was hard to tell because it was so dark. I walked quickly forward, not taking my eyes off of it, reached for the light switch and turned it on, and it disappeared, just with a flick of a switch. Needless to say, I was freaked out. I didn't bother telling my parents. My mom was never one to believe in the supernatural, and the only thing my dad believed in was cryptids. Really, it's absurd how much he watches stuff on Bigfoot. Besides, they would have thought that I was making it up, or chalk it up to my overactive imagination. The next time I saw it was when I decided to sleep in the living room one night. It was closer to my mom, and the kitchen light was always on. I was laying in the far corner of the living room, farthest away from the kitchen and closest to my mom's room. Traces of light skimmed across the floor, and I thought that was enough. I guess I thought wrong. I had finally started to drift off to sleep when something caught my eye. At the end of my couch, in the corner of the room, there it stood. It looked slightly bigger now, more bulky. It was so dark. I could feel its eyes. Did it even have eyes? I couldn't tell, staring at me, watching me. Then it moved just an inch closer. It was a fluid motion, easy and almost natural. Almost. Then it started to stick out its, I guess it was a hand. Hard to tell when its body's always shifting and moving. I got goosebumps all over my body and freaked the hell out. I didn't want to wake up my mom, so I moved my blanket and pillow to the other side of the room, always watching it. Just while it was watching me. I put myself on the opposite couch in direct light, and it stayed in the corner. I told myself that I shouldn't lose sleep. Maybe it was just my imagination. I rolled over, facing away from the thing, and fell asleep. The next few weeks were slightly uneventful. I would see it out of the corner of my eye, but not very often. It was always there, and I could feel it watching me from the hallway while I slept in my room. Then came the finale. I was going through a stage of watching Discovery Channel and Animal Planet, and I can't remember which one I was watching, but it was something about ants. It's not important, but it's just a memory. I didn't have my lamp on, and I was pretty sure that the hallway light was on, but I wasn't sure. But it was 3 a.m, and I was getting tired. I knew I should have checked the light, but I wasn't too worried. I should have been. I turned off the TV to find out that I was in complete darkness. My eyes couldn't even adjust, it was so dark. There was no light in my room. Not even light from the kitchen helped me out. I decided to tough it out. Besides, I had my dog in my bed with me. She'd tell me if something was there to be afraid of. That's what dogs do, right? So there I am, lying in total darkness on my back. I didn't want to look out into the hallway, but I did. And as soon as I did, I saw it flash by. It was so quick, so fluid, so dark. I stiffened up. I really shouldn't have seen it. It should have blended in, should have been undiscovered, but it wasn't. It didn't even make sense. And my mind still can't comprehend why it was so dark. I kept a lookout on the hallway. I wanted to reach for my remote, but I didn't want it to grab me. Then after what seemed like an hour, it made a dash to the corner of my room. I've said that my room is small, and it's not an understatement. I have a full-size bed, and there's about 2 feet between the end of the bed and the wall. That is where that thing was. I looked toward it and was frozen. In the darkest part of my room, there it was, and it seemed to grow. It had gone from 2 feet tall, and before me now was something that was 6 feet. A 6 foot creature, that's what it was now. It watched me still, and I watched it. I wanted to scream, but my muscles were so tight, my vocal cords failed to work. I stayed stiff, and then it moved. It moved onto my bed. It was a massive weight, because when I looked down, there was a dip where its weight looked to be. I looked back up at it, where its face should have been, and it was inching closer and closer and finally stopped, a foot away from my face. Even this close, it had no features, but it made me cold just to be next to it, and whatever it wanted, I was sure it wasn't anything good. Just as it started to lower itself closer to me, my body loosened up, and I shot up out of bed, reached for the remote, and turned on the TV. My heart was pounding, and my legs were shaking, but the thing was gone. I collapsed to the floor and told myself that never will I ever sleep without the light on again. The Shadow Person. Back in 2004, I was 12 going on 13. My friend Eric was a year older than me and my sister 2 years younger than myself. I used to live in a house on a corner of a very quiet street in a small town just outside of Winnipeg, Manitoba, called Transcona. In the turn of the century, it was really just a plot of land for workers and their families. It was farming land. It was basically just a settlement for railway workers that slowly boomed over the decades. It was considered a part of Winnipeg as the early 1970s, I think, but for all intents and purposes, it was its own little world and is still very much separated from the rest of the city. If you know of the place or have lived there, you know about the many crazy, ridiculous, stupid stories that are told. For example, the Tiki Man. He was supposed to be a homeless man who lived at the turn of the century in Transcona in the forest by one of the railroads, known for stealing women's underwears from their clothesline and getting a laugh by scaring children. He had been spotted by my mom's friends when she was younger and, oddly enough, had been spotted by my friend's son and has described him to a T just outside the playground by Harold Hatcher Elementary School. There have been leprechaun sightings. Yes, I know how silly that sounds, but people swear by it. Sightings of apparitions and demonic figures, UFOs, etc. I never really believed in those stories per se, but I did and still do believe in the spirit world. ETs, cryptids, etc. I come from a long line of card readers on my mother's side, not tarot, just playing cards. So I grew up with a very open mind with spirituality and universalism. But nothing could have prepared me for what I saw when I was 12. In late July 2004, it was a very hot summer, which is common. Winnipeg has brutally cold winters and extensive dry summers. My friend Eric and I were inseparable for almost 6 years. He was like a brother I never had, so it wasn't uncommon for my mom to wake up in the morning and find him passed out on the couch in the living room or passed out on my bed with me. Our parents trusted us and knew it was innocent. So one night, Eric slept over and we decided to have one of our all-nighters, which consisted of scary movies, junk food, and night exploring outside. My sister happened to be awake when we snuck out and wanted to be with us when we stayed up to watch the sunrise from my garage roof. There were three of us, and we decided to take a trek down to the park, which was less than a 2-minute walk from my house. On our way back, heading to the driveway, where our back door was located behind our fence door, we were walking down the boulevard and talking when something told me to turn around. And when I did, I wish I hadn't. What I saw, I don't even know how to explain, but I will try. Across the street, adjacent to where we were, was a brown fence along the other side. I saw what I can only describe as a 4 or 5 foot humanoid smoke figure walking along the side of the fence. As I opened my mouth to alert my sister and friend, Eric spoke for me. "What the fuck? Do you see that?" he shrieked, and my mouth was hollow for words. Then my sister started crying. "Holy shit," I thought. "They are seeing it too." Then all of a sudden, the figure started running across the street in a beeline toward us. We panicked and completely forgot we were mere seconds from the back door and ran down the boulevard towards the front of our house. My sister ran in front, me second, and Eric was last. And as I heard the door close behind him, I heard him yell out. It ran across the lawn. It ran across the lawn. I didn't dare look and took his word for it. The scary part was that my porch light was on, and that means if he could see it in the light with the way it looked, it means it had corporeal form, something of actual physical properties. We didn't sleep one wink, and we did watch the sunrise. We figured we were safe in the meantime, with it being morning now. But after that, we all decided to try and get some sleep. And as I lay myself on my bed to sleep, my sister in her room and Eric in the living room, we could hear the wind chimes outside my open kitchen window chiming away. And that's when the whistling started. What not to do when visiting Alaska. I want to share with all of you the account of my 4-day visit to Port Graham, Alaska. Believe it if you want to. Port Graham is a very small town with less than 50 people in it. We were using it as our main hub to boat out to bigger villages like Seldovia. Both Port Graham and the much bigger Seldovia are mainly inhabited by Native Alaskans. Before I go on with my account, let me tell you a little bit about my background. I don't really believe in ghosts or poltergeists or anything like that. That being said, I'm not above admitting when I see something I can't explain. I grew up in Missouri. My father and I both have seen a thing in the Ozark Hills that I can only describe as the Ozark Howler. Whether or not this was some sort of black hound or just an odd beast long forgotten, I'll never know because I'm never looking for it again. I've spent time overseas working in rural villages, mostly Southeast Asia and South and Central America, where I've heard hundreds of legends and supposed accounts for cryptid sightings. I am, for the most part, an interested skeptic unless I see tracks or a body. I've also spent thousands of miles on foot hiking through the U.S., and I've run into pretty much every wild animal the U.S. has to offer. Now, back to Alaska. It was in December, and a cold snap had hit. It was about 20 degrees Fahrenheit, and we were heading out to Port Graham by bush plane to deliver supplies and then hop on a boat to Seldovia for a day. Upon arriving, our host, an Alaskan native, warned us of three things in a very matter-of-fact way. This is our normal day-to-day tone. 1, don't go to the city dump at night or by yourself in the daytime because the ghosts have been seen there. 2, if you see any little people, don't follow them into the woods. 3, there have been sightings of Bigfoot at night, so stay inside. I admit, I was incredulous about the first two. As I said, I don't believe in ghosts, and to me, the little people were just a legend. But when he mentioned Bigfoot, the hair on my neck stood on end, and I inadvertently began scanning the tree line. A few years before, during a hiking trip in Montana, I heard sounds coming from the mountainside across the valley from where my group was camping that in all my time in wild, I have never heard. Sort of a soft hooting, not unlike a bird, but still very deep. Our first 3 days go by fine. I had walked through the village alone multiple times and at night with one of the guys that had come out with me. We had gone past the junkyard several times with no ghosts to be seen and the little people never showed up to call us into the forest. The evening of the 3rd day, we were meeting up in a church building to settle our papers and call the bush pilot service for pickup the next morning. I left the building to head back to our rooms and pick up some paperwork. It was still dusk, so there was some sun out, so I didn't ask anyone to come with me. I got back to our cabin just fine, where I sat and talked with another teammate for a while, and then grabbed the paperwork and headed back towards the church building. Port Graham sits below a mountain, which is to the town's southwest. This means, especially during an Alaskan winter, that the sun sets behind this mountain very quickly. I did not consider or even think to worry about the fact that it was night, and the moon had not come up yet to give me more light. Still, I set off across the hard-packed snow to the church building. Looking back, I was young, about 19. The buildings were only about 200 yards apart, and they both had bright lights and motion lights outside. I still should have just stayed inside, and frankly, as I write this, I feel lucky. I was walking back. The packed snow would crunch under my boots, crunch, crunch, crunch. About halfway back to the building, I began hearing a sound it was a second set of footsteps that seemed to echo mine. Crunch, 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 crunch. I stopped and turned around, expecting to see my buddy, who I had been speaking with, trying to catch up to me. As I stopped, so did the other footsteps, and when I turned, no one was behind me. I chucked it up to an echo and then continued my walk. About 10 steps in, the echo started again. Crunch, crunch. Crunch, crunch. Crunch, crunch. Crunch, crunch. It was about that time I realized the sound was coming from my left and in front of me, just inside the tree line. At this point, our host warning hit me. I might be getting followed by a Bigfoot. I'm 50 yards from the church building now. Long before I hit the motion sensor that turns on the security spotlights, but one comes on anyways. The echo crunch stops, and the crunch of my shoes on the snow continues. I noticed two things as I approached the church. One, when the light came on, whatever was in the woods stopped, like it thought it had been caught or something. Two, the security lights in the building came on at separate times. The one pointing at the road that I was walking on came on as I approached and at about 20 yards away. The one facing the woods came on as I was about 40 yards away, meaning that something in the woods had set it off. There was no wind that night. When I entered the building, I didn't mention anything to anyone. I would be leaving with a group, so I felt everything would be okay on our walk back. After about 10 minutes of conversation, we heard an ATV coming down the road from the direction I had just walked. We were expecting a couple of our host children. They were bringing the ATV so that their father would not have to walk back. As I sat and listened to the approaching ATV, I heard that same hoot I had heard in Montana. The girls on the ATV screamed, and then we heard them gun it. They arrived shortly after and explained that while they were driving up the road, a Bigfoot had stepped out of the trees as they were driving by. They said it chased them, and that only once they reached the light near the church did it turn back into the woods. I really did not want to believe them, but they were visibly shaken. One was crying and the other was standing quietly in shock. That night when we left, the moon had finally come out. There were about 10 of us total. We walked the ATV and the natives to their house, and then the remaining 7 of us walked, talking, and singing very loudly back to our cabin for our last night in Port Graham. Needless to say, I didn't sleep. I spent the whole night looking toward the church building as the security lights came on and off, as if the Bigfoot was circling it. The next day, once the bush plane had taken off and made a wide loop to face north to Homer, Alaska, we flew back over Port Graham. I knew looking down at it, I would never forget that village or the night I walked with Bigfoot. From the shadowy woods. A few days ago, I stumbled upon intriguing information on the internet. It's about cryptids. I was fascinated, but my family thought me strange. They don't believe in Bigfoot, Chupacabra, or the Bray Road Beast. Yet that didn't stop me. Eyes and mind wide open, I continued immersing myself in the subject of cryptids. I researched stories, books, sightings, and videos of anything cryptid-related. I found myself with a new habit of asking anyone and everyone within ear's reach about their most unexplained or terrifying encounter. And that's when chance hit close to home. My little brother Noah, after much persuading, finally felt comfortable enough to share his encounter with me. He was nervous. I could feel the anxiety coming from him. It was so palpable and real. He began his story. Several months ago, he had seen something. Late one day, mid-fall, he was helping our dad detail a car before he painted it. Our dad had been renting a garage outside of town to do his auto body work. It was next to a thick, ominous forest. I remember this place myself, having been there a few times. Noah was told to wait outside of the shop as my dad began painting the car. He sat outside in the chilling night air next to Dad's truck. That's when he heard the rustling. It was distinct, something he knew couldn't have been the wind, so instinctively he turned toward the noise. Then he saw it. I saw Noah's demeanor completely change. It actually terrified me. What he had come face to face with was some sort of creature. It was only about 5 meters away. It was large, covered in fur, standing top-heavy with its knuckles digging into the earth. Or were those paws? It had to be bigger than our dad, a 6-foot-tall man who was quite lean in build. The creature's snout was elongated like that of a wolf or a dog. But that wasn't the worst part. The thing was staring right at my brother. Its lips were curled back in a hateful snarl. Then slowly it stood off of its knuckles and onto its hind legs. Now, at this point, I was thinking this had to be a bear. They'd surely be terrifying that close. But he told me it started walking toward him, making steps that were too deliberate and precise to be a bear. He said the fear that thing's mere glare made him feel, it wasn't just plain fear, it was primal, supernatural, fear that he knew no one should feel in their lifetime. So panicked out of his mind, he ran back inside with my father. He covered his face in his shirt to protect himself from the paint in the air. His heart still pounding, his entire body quivering, he looked outside through the fan in the wall that filtered the air out of the building. His fear quickly doubled. Between the fan blades, as glimpses of the outside world flashed between the quick rotations, the creature was staring right at him, now inches away, separated by nothing but occasional swipes from the metal blades. He retreated to the corner for the rest of the night. When they left, he told my father, but our dad just did not believe him. As he told me his story, I saw tears run from his eyes, tears of reminiscent fear. I had no choice but to believe him, not when mere words filled him with such anguish. Excited and intrigued, I began obsessing. Such an intense sighting and so close. I had to do something. My family had always been avid hunters, so we had dozens of deer cams, new and old. These cameras would flash a picture the moment something moved. They even had a few that recorded video. So I picked up new SD cards for each camera, making sure they had enough space to take a plethora of pictures and long videos. I went to the forest behind the garage my father used to rent. I made sure it was broad daylight, of course. I set up each and every camera, covering about 2 miles in every direction. It took me hours, and by the time I was finally finished, it was nearly dark. I hightailed it out of there and made my way home. A few days later, I retrieved the cameras. Oddly, one camera had been torn from its strap and was lying yards from the tree it had been strapped to. I ignored this, assuming it was a wind or a curious animal. Home again, I popped the SD cards in my laptop. I was quickly disappointed. Most of the pictures were of nothing, and some of them were of deer or raccoons. But I finally found one picture that interested me. In the picture, there were two glowing orbs like eyes, and what seemed to be the shimmer of a tooth, a sharp, intimidating tooth. Judging by the angle, it must have been from the camera that was torn from its spot. If I hadn't taken out the SD card all at once, then I would have known for sure. It sent a chill down my spine, but to keep my sanity, I again shrugged it off as a curious wildlife. Disappointed, I decided I'd set the cameras up again in the morning. I was awakened only a couple of hours later by a tapping sound. The sound was subtle. I couldn't tell where it was coming from. It didn't help that it was pitch black. I clicked on my lamp and listened. Tap, tap, tap. There it was again. It was coming from my window. As I turned toward it, my body became completely paralyzed, and my skin was jolted in a mass of sharp, stinging pains. For there in the window was what seemed to be the head of a wolf or dog. But how? My window was nearly 6 feet off the ground. Its eyes were so red. Red like blood. They shimmered from the light of my lamp. Then I saw a huge, fur-covered hand, ending in a razor-sharp claw, appear next to it. The claws tapped against the glass of the window. With each tap, my body quaked. My heart palpitated so hard it hurt. But worst of all, this creature staring right into me. It smiled at me. Its smile revealed vicious, powerful teeth. So many teeth. Then its mouth began moving. Its snout, in a very disturbing manner, seemed to be forming words. I could do nothing but listen to the agonizing words that reverberated through my thin glass window. I have your scent now. A week ago, my parents left and haven't returned. Officially, they are missing, but I know what happened. My little brother and little sister were found dead soon after. Their bodies were torn in so many pieces, the police gave up on finding them all. Needless to say, since that day, I haven't left this house. If only my parents had believed me. Every night now, that thing comes to the window, tapping again, and repeating those words to me. I have your scent. This morning, after another sleepless night, I found the front door open. This creature, this thing, has been toying with me. It has had every chance to kill me. Instead, it taunts me and it smiles. So many teeth, I wonder how many times it has been only inches from me. It claws at the walls, the windows, rattles the doorknobs every second of the day. It tells me in that horrifying voice that it will never leave. It says I wanted to find it, so it simply showed itself to me. Even now as I write this, it bares its yellow fangs through the window, smiling still. I'm so tired of the fear, of the pain. There's nothing else I can do. Today is the day. The day I let it in.